Are you there, Clippers? It's the playoffs.
Oh, we're here.
Clippers clinched a spot last night against the Timberwolves
with their
sixth straight win. Thus far, they're 11-1 in the month of March. We're riding high right now.
Oh, I'm high as hell on hope. I've been loading bowls of hope all day.
I'm William, the opinion update.
And I'm elated Chuck Mockler today.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, in case you didn't know. We come at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content. And the bandwagon is open.
We're going to talk about this later in the show. Look, it's open for anybody.
Yeah.
We are not an exclusionary?
There's no exclusions.
Yeah, there's no exclusions with this fan base.
All inclusive.
It's like a
getaway in Cabo. This baby's all inclusive.
Our fan base is like Burning Man right now.
Yeah.
Anyone can come.
Yeah. It's open to everyone.
Look, I don't care if Lakers fans want to come through.
Through. If you're rooting for the Clippers, you're on.
You're on.
That's your ticket for admission.
Exactly.
Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with a little recap of that Timberwolves game.
Ooh.
A lot of stuff went right. Really great win all the way through.
A couple things went wrong, but we'll talk about that.
So we'll be chatting about that. And then today is Wednesday, so we've got a What Could Have Been Wednesday. We're going to be talking about the 2009 draft.
You're leading this one today.
We'll be chatting about that. And then we're just going to close up with some general Clips talk. We'll talk some more about this. You know, this fun-loving bandwagon. But before we get into all that, guys, we're going to be doing another live event at Tom's Urban.
Hell yeah.
Which is...
Pretty soon.
Yeah, which is the gem of...
LA Live.
Of LA Live.
I love that.
If you didn't know. So Tom's Urban's great. Roll through. That's going to be April 7th for the away game against the Warriors. We're going to be keeping it real while keeping it safe at Tom's Urban. They've got everything, man. They have over 50 screens.
Lobster mac and cheese.
They've got lobster mac and cheese. They have they have like a bunch of great elevated versions of classic bar food.
Perfect.
But not too elevated.
Yeah.
You know? Like no one's sticking their nose up in
there.
You
don't got to wear a monocle and a top hat to Tom's Urban.
Oh, yeah. It's not a cloth napkin situation. Or it might be. I cannot remember. But yeah, so roll through for that. And if you can't roll through, just check out Tom's Urban next time you're at a game. Great pregame spot, lovely postgame spot. They have a fantastic happy hour, half off anything that pours. So go ahead and check that out if you support the Clippers, if you support LA, if you love your life.
So we got past the Timberwolves last night in Minnesota.
Oh yeah,
a little bummed we couldn't clinch the playoffs at home.
Yeah, I guess.
It's selfishly because we would have been there.
Yeah, that's fair.
We won 112-111. Right off the bat, Patrick Beverley, I want to get this out of the way, went out of the game in the third. He exited with a hip pointer.
Yeah.
But said after the game he shouldn't miss time. The team did look a little lost. We'll talk about that in a few when he was gone. But just happy that he's not out for too much longer.
Yeah, somebody had a really crappy comment on Twitter. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to call it out. Somebody was like, you know, I guess I feel bad for Pat, but it's kind of ironic that a player who hurts all these other players should get hurt by a player.
Come on.
And you know what?
Get off your high
horse. You can shove it. All right?
Get off your high horse.
He plays with a lot of intensity.
He's not a malicious guy.
I don't believe that he's a malicious guy. You would have to present a very strong argument to convince me otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
And no, it's never good for a player to get hurt. That's
crap. You should never root for that.
Yeah, that's crap.
Ever. But he should be fine, thankfully. I wouldn't be surprised. I think Justin Russo, Fly By Night, if you're not following him on Twitter, he's fantastic, was saying that he wouldn't be mad if we sat Shamet and Beverly for the game against the Bucks. Because it's like...
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I'd still like to get the dub.
I mean, dude, if there's one thing we love, it's a fat dub. Yeah, like Will said, currently on a six-game win streak. Let's get some stats for you guys.
Okay.
Gallo led all scorers with 25 and added 10 boards.
We talked about this in the game preview.
Yeah.
We talked about people were going to have to kind of chip in for the rebounding effort. We won rebounds, which I was shocked.
Yeah,
51-43. You know, I had talked a little bit about worrying about Gallo's rebounding ability, if it would hinder the offensive load he would have to carry. Didn't happen, man.
Didn't seem
to. He can do it all.
Lou put up 24-7. No threes.
Yeah. We should maybe talk a little bit about the three-point shooting.
We will talk about it a little bit. Trez had 18. We'll talk about his fourth quarter. And then Shea had a very productive 10-4-4. had a fantastic steal. We'll talk about.
Looked incredible. He had a great dime to Garrett Temple.
Three dunks this game for Shea.
Yeah,
which I think is a season high for a game.
Yeah,
he's definitely playing with more confidence.
Definitely.
Karl Anthony Towns tried his best with 24 and 13. Tried his best is my favorite condescending way. Tried his best with 24 and 13. Wiggins had 22. Sarek put up 18. I kind of thought he was going to be more effective. He kind of
A pretty solid scoreline for
Sarek.
With
how he was playing, I thought it was maybe going to ramp up a little bit. And then Tyus Jones had a really efficient 13 and 8 dimes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, shockingly, the starters got beaten this one. Which actually kind of was shocking.
They did, but they hung in there really, really well.
Yeah, it was 86 to 69.
And I think if you have one of those guys not have a huge game, you know, like Wiggins can disappear in games. Cat disappeared for a large...
For the first half.
For a large part of this game. So, you know, like that's kind of all we need, really, is for the starters to competently hang
weather
in there.
Weather the storm.
Yeah.
What's your point? Where do you want to see in the playoffs, maybe point differential-wise, the starters getting beat? Obviously, we want them to break even or win their starter minutes.
I mean, I think if the starters can keep it within 20, ideally 15.
Damn. I was going to say 12.
I think we can still pull out a dub.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's not ideal.
For sure.
But I think that,
worst,
like,
case scenario.
I mean, you just got to look at the top-level talent. And, like, a lot of the teams that we're looking at, especially, you know, the higher-up teams, are really front-loaded.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, like, I mean, to be negative here, but no, it's not going to be a surprise if the starting five from Houston or even Denver
outscores
our starting lineup by 20 points.
Yeah,
that, like, that makes sense to me.
And then I think we get into kind of seeing Doc do some staggering.
Oh yeah,
which is great. Like Will said, we won total rebounds and we won assists 30 to 22.
Yeah,
that was the biggest thing for me. The ball movement in the first quarter was, so full disclosure, I was trying to stream this on the bus on my way home. I had to watch the replay. It was a whole thing. The ball movement in the first quarter was maybe the best it's been all year.
Yeah, and I thought it actually carried through. I mean, there were some turnover issues, which we can talk about more.
Yeah.
But I thought all the way through this was really a pretty solid effort.
As Corey Maggette would say, we moved that ball from one side of the court to the other. Turnovers were rough. We had 18 to their 10.
Yeah.
The bench accounted for 11 of these, Lou and Trez accounting for 7 of those 11 bench turnovers.
Yeah. There were some miscommunications. There was a notable one where, I mean, like, Trez was just nowhere near the ball.
I know what you're talking about. It was just, like,
was
a
just
bad...
A miss. Yeah, it was just a misread.
It sucks, but Lou, I will say, when Lou turns the ball over, it's in bunches.
Yeah, so my hesitation in all this is I do want to give some credit to this Timberwolves defense.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, 18 turnovers, the defense is doing something fairly right.
And, you know, they really weren't able to capitalize on that much.
No.
I mean, they did outscore us in the fast break. We had 17 to their 25, but... I mean, that is still pretty minimal to me for a game in which we have 18 turnovers.
Yeah, definitely. And there were some free throw issues too. They at one point had missed, like, I think they were like 14 to 24 or something.
They shot 61%.
Yeah, they shot horribly.
And we were perfect.
Yeah. Oh, Nollie kick flipping off that. As a team, we shot 54, 50, and 100 for our splits.
Yeah.
Which is the first time the Clippers have put up at least 50, 50, 100 since 84, 85. Shout out to Miriam Swanson for that.
Wow, that's a deep breath.
This is all the more impressive when you consider the bench shot 18% from three.
Yeah.
The starters shot 67%.
Yeah.
We're 31 and 10 when we make more than 10 threes.
And I think you already said this, but 11 of those turnovers did come from the bench.
Yeah, so it's like, what are you going to do? This was a nice wire-to-wire win.
Yeah.
We won the first 42 to 23. Only really concerning part was when Bev went out, it showed how important to the offensive flow he is.
Yes. Yeah.
We did a bunch of the, like, there was a bunch of bad threes. We did a bunch of, like, jump in the air and throw the ball in the opposite direction that we're jumping for a pass. It was just that frenetic offense where you're like, dude, no one really seems to know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's, I mean, he's a team leader. That's a huge blow. And, it was really... It was noticeable on both sides of the floor.
Yeah.
So.
But on the positives, When Shea started getting the ball when Bev was out, the offense looked like it was humming along quite nicely.
Oh, yeah.
They were running sets. Like you mentioned, that pass to Temple was unbelievable that Shea hit.
Yeah. And he was just, he was throwing down now.
God, yeah. He,
with
dude,
authority.
He's banging on for
us. And another example of, we talked about this earlier, how it seems like Shea, it's like the game is slowing down around him.
100%.
Because I don't know that he's necessarily gotten faster, just because I don't really think that that's a thing in a single season.
I don't think of him as a fast
player. No, and that's never what he was billed as. He was never like the explosive athlete.
Yeah.
He's a guy who, you know, uses his knowledge of the game to his benefit.
Harden-esque. I'm not comparing him to Harden. In terms of body control and stuff, I think it's the similar style.
I would not say so, but
okay.
but that's fair.
Because like Harden's not fast.
No, but he does have like
The best deceleration.
He has the fastest deceleration in any sport.
Yeah,
he can
crazy.
Just come to a halt, and he's like he's also a he's a more explosive athlete than Shea.
Oh, absolutely,
and has been for his
entire
career.
I meant strategy in terms of like you never see Harden. Like obviously Harden's working hard, but Shea's kind of the same way. Where like he just gets to places.
Yeah.
Where you're kind of like, oh, you just kind of knew where it was going to be.
Yeah. And you know who I think an underrated mentor is in all of that? Gallo.
Absolutely. Strongest man in the league. our lead was actually cut to 6 midway through the fourth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then right after that, the Timberwolves gave up a 12-2 run from 6 minutes to just 3 minutes left. Game was over after that.
Oh, yeah.
During that run, Trez had 6 points. And in the fourth quarter, Trez was 5 for 5.
Yeah.
I feel bad for whoever has to guard this man in the playoffs.
Definitely.
The playoff version of all these guys is going to be incredible.
I feel bad if he doesn't get the most improved player.
He has to.
I don't think he will, but
I don't either.
He deserves it.
But he does deserve it. There's so many deserving guys this year, and like for most improved.
For sure.
I mean, there's obviously one more deserving for sixth man of the year. We all know who's going to win.
I mean, that one's locked down.
That one's If he doesn't win, I'm not even going to talk about that. I don't even want to talk about what I'm going to do if he doesn't win it. We got to give a shout out to our guy, Garrett Temple.
He came through, man.
Dude, he was incredible.
Yeah.
We said yesterday in the pod, maybe stop with the slander. 15 points, 5 of 9 shooting, 5 of 8 from beyond the arc. This is a very Shamit line as well.
Yeah,
for
definitely.
For someone to come in and play for him.
Definitely.
4 boards, 3 dimes, 2 steals, tip of the hat.
Yeah, really solid. I mean, he ended up playing 32 minutes, which is like double his normal playing time. And was a +8 on the night.
Yeah.
So, really pretty solid.
Not bad. Let's talk about Cat.
Okay.
0 of 3 shooting in the first half.
Yeah.
What do you think that was a defensive thing, or do you think the Timberwolves were just like not understanding what was going on? I
think it's not understanding what's going on. I think that they are inconsistent with the way that they use him.
Yeah.
Which I think definitely his versatility as a player lends itself to that because you're like, oh, we can use him in so many ways. It's like almost having too many options.
For sure.
Yeah,
because you're like, what's he going to be tonight?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that that was an issue. But, you know, when he was more in his element there, like in the paint and in post-ups, he was playing really, really great.
Yeah. Second half, which we actually lost 56-47, he went 6 of 14. With 2 threes, one of them cut the lead to 6 with 7 minutes left.
Yeah.
So, like, the second half, he was phenomenal.
He was huge.
But I just feel like it's that thing where if Wiggins is doing well or Cat's doing well,
I do think
no one else does well.
I do think there's a lack of, like, the clutch gene or the alpha gene or whatever gene you want to call it. I do think that on that team, there's, like, two guys who are both really solid players.
So gifted offensively.
Both have the tools to be really solid defensively, can show flashes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that either one of them, I don't know if it's a drive thing or a motivation thing, but I haven't seen consistent basis either one of these guys being like, oh, this is the guy.
This is that dude.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, and they both, I don't know. Cat obviously.
They have flashes.
Cat obviously closer, you know. His upside is still phenomenal.
Yeah.
I just thought he would be a lot further along than he is right now.
For sure.
We were talking about this actually before the pod.
Minnesota just should be a dynasty.
Minnesota should right now be like the strongest team.
Yeah. Given their draft history and stuff.
Yeah, just given their draft history and the trades and everything. And I don't know. I think there might be an issue development-wise.
Their owner, I mean, Kevin Garnett said their owner doesn't know shit about basketball. It's his exact quote.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get on to Shea. We talked about his shooting a little bit. He had a fantastic steal off of a screen, like this pick-and-roll screen that they were running.
Yeah.
That I think we've kind of been harping on all year. I think he can be top five in steals.
Yeah,
for
definitely.
The rest of his career.
Yeah, he's smooth, he's smart, he's long.
He understands when to go for it. Like it was just phenomenal. And he finished it with a dunk.
Yeah.
Zoo was solid, 21 minutes, 4 or 5 shooting, 6 boards, and a steal. Do we kind of expect like this 20-minute shift from him consistently? Is this kind of his, not ceiling, because they're obviously playing more if it's working, but that seems to be kind of the dosage of Zubats we're getting.
I just think it's a matchup-dependent thing. I do think the 20 minutes should be a more consistent kind of a mark, but honestly, it's just really matchup-dependent.
Yeah. Are we worried about the bench shooting at all in terms of threes? I think Jermichael Green went 1 of 3. Just a little. It's just been kind of down the last couple games.
It's been down. I wouldn't say that I'm worried. You know, the Lou Williams stuff is like a little bit troubling, but he's the guy who will go 0-50 and like just still keep shooting.
And he'll still put up 20.
Yeah.
And he had 7 assists this game. So it's like he's rounded his game out so well. I was a little bummed just because of the stretch, you know, against the Cavs, it was kind of rough. And against the Knicks, it was a little shooting wise was kind of rough from three. That I hope we can kind of get it clicked in. Just, you know, you just want to peak at the right time.
Yeah, you want to peak at the right time.
Which we might be doing if we're not playing well right now.
Yeah, and, you know, you want, obviously you want consistency in that, but I do think that the one consistency we can kind of lean on is if one unit doesn't have it, the other one generally
does. The other one
will,
yeah, or one guy's going to have it.
Or one guy can kind of make up for some of the lack. And that, yeah. You know, I think anytime you can take pressure off, especially when you can take pressure off a second unit, and they can, like, it's not, everything's not as dependent on them
for sure
knocking down threes. I think they're going to make more threes, like as a consequence. 100%. You know what I mean? I don't think it's anything to worry about long term. Something we'll be keeping an eye on. We'll update you guys.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. You'll get the update Monday through Friday. That is our recap of the playoff clinching win. Coming up after this, we're going to have a William Updike, what could have been Wednesday. But first, one more shout out to Tom Zurbin. We're going to get a Michelada from there after we go to the next Clippers game.
Yeah.
Got great micheladas.
Wish I was drinking a michelada from there right now.
I thought about bringing one into work and was like, getting fired over this would maybe not be worth it. Check out the U-Pour floor. They got 50 taps from best beers around California as well as imports. You could do, you know, one cup with every 50 beer if you wanted. Also, check out March Madness tonight if you're down by LA Live. See some Clippers second round picks playing. Again, that is Tom Zurbin at LA Live.
All right, so we're not going to go too in-depth probably on this one, but we got a what could have been for you centering around the 2009 draft.
Yeah. My question, would you have done it any differently?
Well, we can get into that. But the short answer for me is no.
Is no. I tend to agree.
So just a little rundown, a little background. Clippers.
The year is 2009. Auto-tune is taking over.
Yeah. The Clippers' first overall pick. I can't remember the last time they had the first overall pick.
I think it was this.
No, I mean previously.
Oh, yeah. Never.
And there's a lot of talent. It's, I would say, really, this is what was a really guard-heavy draft.
Yeah, a couple of misses.
Few misses. So let's just run through the top 10.
Yeah.
At the number one pick, Clippers took Blake. If you didn't know that, they took Blake Griffin.
They took Blake Griffin.
He was a player for the Los Angeles Clippers.
The unanimous number one pick.
Yeah. And he was also like the, I mean, number two pick was Hasheem Thabeet.
Looked great in college.
Which was a miss, but that is the only other non-guard taken until 8th.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
So yeah, after that, OKC took Harden with the 3rd pick.
God damn.
Sacramento took Tyreek Evans at 4, which is wild to me that he went that high. Yeah. Sorry, Tyreek Evans. You're a nice player, but 4?
Four?
Rubio was taken 5th, and he actually didn't play for the Timberwolves right away.
No, he didn't. But you know who did? the guy who was taken immediately after him.
Yeah, so the Timberwolves had the 5th and 6th pick in this draft. Somehow botched that up.
Could have drafted... Anyway, we'll run this down, then we'll
They
just...
got Johnny Flynn at 6, who is no longer in the league.
No.
And then Golden State Warriors, pretty famously, took Steph Curry at 7. 8th went to Jordan Hill for the Knicks, who I believe is either in China or not in the league.
Oh, good for him if he's in China.
And then, let's see. So after Steph, the Knicks picked...
That was Jordan Hill.
That was Jordan Hill, sorry. And at 9, the Raptors took DeRozan.
Yep.
Pretty solid. And Milwaukee took Brandon Jennings, who was pretty highly touted coming into this. He was one of the players who skipped college.
Yeah.
Played in Italy, I believe. And then, and then came into the league. He actually, just as a side note, had a really pretty promising career and a nice little stretch there for the Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Before suffering like a ruptured Achilles and then... Yeah.
Back when medicine didn't work, I guess.
Kind of bounced around.
Unbelievable that Minnesota could have drafted, I don't know, Steph and DeMar.
Yeah.
And instead went Ruby. Anyway, all right. So you would still take Blake in this situation, all things considered.
So, yeah. So looking at this top 10, there is only one player that is still with the team they were drafted by.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty interesting.
And that, of course, is Jordan Hill. of course, is Steph Curry.
and just given the amount of talent in this draft, I mean,
this is a crazy top 10.
Yeah.
Blake, and James, Steph, DeMar.
A few notables that went later that we didn't talk about yet was 17 was Jrue Holiday to the Sixers.
Yeah. Patrick Beverly taken in the second round.
Which they also botched. And then 19 was Jeff Teague, who was really great for the Hawks.
Yeah.
But also not with the team he was drafted for. I mean, I guess that makes sense. You know, we're talking like 9 seasons out at this point.
But in the top 10,
I would just think
you would theoretically want your guy to still be on your team.
So here's why I wouldn't do anything differently.
Why is that?
Blake was the perfect player for what the Clippers needed at the time. An electrifying player. But a guy who is complimentary that you can still put other pieces around.
Because we had DeAndre. We didn't have Chris Paul yet, obviously.
Yes.
And it was kind of weird for point guards for us.
Yeah.
But I think with the ownership at the time, they wanted a show product.
They wanted somebody that was ready. And honestly, prior to now.
And if you don't count his injury in his rookie year, we're also like, that sucked.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a fluke, but you could say the same thing about Steph Curry. I think had we drafted Steph Curry, the injury woes, I don't think he's still on this team.
And I don't think he doesn't get as much run.
Yeah.
Or maybe he does and Sterling doesn't like him or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know that that he would have re-signed here.
And Baron Davis was still the point guard at this time.
Yeah.
For us. So.
So in the immediate, it makes sense. Electrifying player. You know, like, there was just... It was an exciting
player
pick.
Of the year.
Yeah, it was an exciting time. He did win Rookie of the Year, so very, very cool. And then in the long term, you know, as I said, Steph Curry is the only one of these guys still on his original team, which you know could say more about franchises than players. But I think it's a little bit of both. And honestly, Blake Griffin, if we didn't have Blake Griffin, this isn't the team that we have now.
100%.
You know,
Griffin, was the first unanimous choice for the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was really great. You know, we would have liked to keep him. I don't think that we ever got to use Blake to his full potential, and that was partially on us, partially on the injury stuff.
Yeah, we were kind of in this weird transition time where, like, we were really good, but our front office was still, like, 7 guys or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, Doc talks about that, where it's like, they went from, like a cubicle's worth of guys to like 60.
Yeah.
When like the new regime entered.
Yeah, because you need more.
You need people to work in your
team. And also that Blake Griffin trade netted us Avery, Tobias.
Nutted us.
Boban, and the picks that became Shane Jerome. And then if you want to go even deeper, he also led us to everything that we got in the Tobias Harris trade.
Yeah.
Obviously, Shamit
and
Zubac.
Justin Russo posted a crazy flow chart of, I retweeted it last night. It's this amazing flow chart of just where we were at that time and everything to how we got here to now.
Yeah.
It's gorgeously put together. Anyway, I'll retweet that out.
But without drafting a player like this, I don't think you can get that sort of return.
For sure.
Obviously, you know, the Thunder weren't even able to keep James Harden.
Which was entirely their fault.
Entirely their fault. But I don't think James Harden is the James Harden that we know now.
Oh, same. And that, Blake's not the same Blake if he's on the Clippers today.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I was lamenting the other day about how I wish current Blake could be a part of this Clippers team.
Well, the thing is,
it'd be awesome. I know it's like impossible, but that, and then, you know, he had to go there to kind of step into his own, but like,
for sure.
He really encompasses what a lot of this team is about. He did before.
And I
but
also
now he's got
think
that long beard.
A little long in the tooth.
Yeah.
I also think that I'm going to throw it out there. I also think that Chris Paul was a detriment to us ever like fully unlocking what Blake Griffin could have been.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that like I'm not saying that he like hurt the team or anything.
No, not at all.
But you just have to make a choice when you're drafting a franchise player, the pieces that you build around him.
For sure.
And I think that that was what made Blake both a great pick in that not everything had to be tailored around him, but I do think that it's also a fault of we never really got to see what he could be.
Yeah, I agree with that. This was a good What Could Have Been Wednesday.
You know?
Yeah, sometimes.
I roll off the hits.
Guys, coming up after this, we're going to be talking just kind of Clipper Nation in general in terms of this bandwagon that is wide open.
Oh, yeah.
But first, make sure to follow Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram, and you'll get all the Locked On Podcast Network stuff into one feed. Also, we just started Locked On MLB. Opening day for the Dodgers.
You and I personally did.
We just did it. Opening day for the Dodgers is tomorrow. Let us know if you're going. I will not be because I have to work. But again, that is Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. And tell your dang smart speaker, play that dang Locked On Clippers podcast.
Oh, yeah, and check out the Himalaya app.
Oh, yes. I was on there. Got a couple Simpsons podcasts backlogged.
Wow.
Very excited to waste time. So the bandwagon is officially open.
It's open for business. It's been open all season.
Look,
we've
it's
been
open
this
all
season.
It's inclusive.
Yeah.
Someone was
send us your poor. You're tired. You know.
Yeah. Send us all the poor people. I said on Twitter that the bandwagon is open and anyone is welcome. Woo woo woo. And someone said no Lakers fans. And you know what? That feels a bit like a Lakers move to me.
It does.
If I'm being totally honest.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's all Los Angeles, baby.
It's all Los Angeles.
Come through for the, Clippers.
Pot. Come through. It's actually more of a braided stream. Excuse me. Not a melting pot.
Everybody has their own identity.
Everyone has their own identity, but we intermingle. We also need the home support.
Yeah.
Like, I know Staples Center is going to be great for the playoffs.
I'm even fine if you're wearing a Lakers jersey. If you're in the if we're in the playoffs and you're rooting for the Clippers, but you're wearing a Lakers jersey, still welcome.
How about this? I'm only cool with it if it's a Lou Will jersey.
Whew. I mean, that's a great denotion, but I'm making no. It's all Los Angeles, baby.
That's fair.
Like
just don't go to the game wearing a Lakers jersey and rooting against both teams.
Oh yeah,
you know
what I'm saying? If you're rooting against the Clippers and you paid for a playoff ticket in Los Angeles, get the heck out of here.
Well, also thank you very much and get a life. But no, anyone can support this team.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of this team. We've all, you know, at some point in your life, someone looked at you and said, that person's probably only going to win 35 wins or whatever the equivalent to that in your life was at that one point.
Yeah.
And you know what? You won at least 45 of those things.
Yeah.
We just need the support. This is a great time to switch, to turn the narrative from the Lakers are obviously Showtime and that seems to be their identity until they get a new front office.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, good luck to them. It did not work this year. We can be the everybody team. It's the LAR way slogan. It's for 100%. Everybody else.
100%.
We're here for it.
Also, I mean, it's Los Angeles. Come on, man.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I hope, I mean, I have no inkling that Clipper Nation is going to be rude to anybody.
No. I mean, like, we talk about this. I have nothing against Laker fans.
No.
You know, talk a lot of trash.
If I was born in Los Angeles and when I was growing up, they were the best team in the world, I'd probably be a Lakers fan too. But you know what? That's not what happened. But yeah, it's friendly banter. We have nothing against the Lakers. We're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Root for us.
Why not?
We're going to root for the Blazers? You freak?
Although I do want to take umbrage with one thing.
Okay. We got 45 seconds. What are you taking umbrage with?
ESPN Los Angeles.
Okay. We could do a whole... We might do a Saturday live stream about
this. If you guys are fans of the Clippers...
I don't think they are.
If you guys are fans of the Locked On Podcast Network, at ESPN Los Angeles. What's the deal with them never covering the Clippers? Why is it only a Lakers thing?
We need a weekly segment from them.
Yeah.
Give me an hour weekly.
Yeah.
Just about the Clippers.
I tweeted at them the other day. I got a ton of resources for you.
Also, I would like to point out, we're the only Daily Clippers show out there.
That's true.
Which we are happy to do. We are so happy we're in the playoffs.
And we're so happy that you guys are listening.
Oh, yes, we are. Please give us a review on whatever you're listening on. Maybe it's Spotify. Maybe it's the Himalaya app.
It's probably the Himalaya app.
Should be. Tomorrow is what, Thursday?
Yeah.
Got a game against the Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Going to be tough. We're going to have a preview of that for you guys. We're doing Thirsty Thursdays, kind of what we want to see more of. Just some general Clippers scuttlebutt after that.
Heck yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike.